just to see a day God has given us and wasn't promised to us, but God, through his grace, mercy, and kindness, has allowed us to come into this place for the exclusive purpose of worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Let's be real clear. Worship is to God. It's not about us. It's us giving him praise by the fruits of our lips and receiving with meekness his engrafted word, which is able to save our very souls. Amen. And we're thankful to have our visiting friends and those who are here that are not members of the Church of Christ. You're the very honored and distinguished guest of our audience, and we want you to know that we love you. We believe that the Bible is right. Amen. And that if you're trying to get to heaven, you won't have a problem with anything we're going to teach, because we're going to use the Bible as our guide and instruction on what we must do. We believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on a cross in Jerusalem on a hill called Calvary. And we believe that not because we've seen any of that. We believe it because of this very book. And because we believe from this book, everything we do, we must have a thus said the Lord for. That's why we referred ourselves as the churches of Christ. Because that's the only church you read about in the Bible. And there's only one in there. And there's only one referenced in there. One God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's one church and one body of the church. And that's what we believe. And we believe if the person going to be saved, they must hear that gospel story. How he hung, bled, suffered on the cross. Believe that with all of your heart. Believe that blood that he shed will wash your sins away in baptism. Give your body to be buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins. The Lord adds you to the church. And there you'll be saved if you stay faithful unto death. Is that good? Now, you know, we got our sisters make up a large portion of our audience. All of them are in Austin right now at the Eastside Church of Christ worshiping this morning. And all of us men who have been by ourselves all weekend are ready for them to come home. Is that right, brethren? Amen. Yeah, brethren. Isn't that right, brethren? Yeah, we're ready for our wives to come home. Yeah, because we can't do it without them. God knew what he was doing when he said we needed some help. And I know I need some help. So Sharon needs to come home. Isn't that good? And it's good to see those I haven't seen in a while in the audience this morning. And so John chapter 1. We're studying the book of John. John chapter 1, verse number 40 and 41. We've studied this book so far. We've got two sermons out of the book of John. If you just want to read ahead and stay ahead, always mark where I stop at and then study that piece of where I come from next week, and you'll be able to get more out of it. And if you really want to challenge, all of my sermon titles will come from the text. And you can look and try to see what is the main thought that Brother Bruce is going to put emphasis on. And this morning we found the Messiah. We found the Messiah. And verse number 35, we're going to pick up in John chapter 1, verse 35, the Bible says, and again
the next day after John stood.
John stood and two of his disciples. Now, this is the day after Jesus' baptism, where God revealed to John that Jesus was the Son of God. And then we looked at that last week and how important it is to understand the difference between John's baptism and Jesus wasn't baptized for the remission of sins. He was baptized to fulfill our righteousness. In other words, we got to be baptized, but Jesus wasn't baptized for the remission of sins. Amen. So we talked about that last week and get that CD last week. And then today in verse 36, and looking upon Jesus.
So
John
as he
now
walked.
Looks at him. John is John the Baptist. This is the one we talked about last week as well. John now looks and see him coming. He listens to see Jesus coming. He said,
Behold the Lamb of God.
Now he's convinced and assured because he was there that day when the voice from heaven spoke and God said, this is my beloved son in whom I will please. Now John know from the prophets in the Old Testament there would be a Christ coming and he would come to save the world and he would be the Lamb or the last Lamb slain for the remission of sin. Hebrews 9:24, without the shedding of blood there would be no remission of sin. So Jesus, as Isaiah said, he would lay down a sheep to the slaughter and before she was dumb, he would open not his mouth. He would be slain. He'd be slaughtered on the cross of Calvary. So John seen him coming. That's who he was. And John, verse 37, he says,
And the two disciples heard him speak.
So the two disciples that were with him heard him say, behold the Lamb of God. And then he said,
And they followed who? Jesus.
They followed Jesus. And then Jesus turned
and saw
them.
So
they're following Jesus. John and two other disciples are following Jesus. And Jesus turns
and saw them following.
And he sees them coming behind him.
And said unto them.
And he said to them, so he questioned them.
What seek ye?
What are you seeking? What are you looking for?
And then the Bible says,
they said unto
they
him,
said, we, which is
Rabbi,
been, we, they said,
which is
Rabbi,
being interpreted, which is being
master,
where dwellest thou?
What, rather than he said, what, so Jesus said, what are you looking for? So what's up? Why are you following me? He questioned them. And so in their response, they call them master. They call him what?
Master
or Rabbi. Rather than say, we follow, they say, where are you staying, Rabbi? Where is the master? So they are convinced and implying in their response to him that they see him as the master. And so Jesus responds, and he says
unto them,
he said, come
and see.
Come see. And then the Bible says what?
They came and saw where he dwelt.
Now he told them to come and see, and they responded by going and see. And then he says, where he dwelt and abode with him what?
That day.
So Jesus gives them an invitation. He said, you come and you see where I'm at, and you spend the day with me. And it was about the 10th hour. Now, under the Jewish law, under the Jewish calendar, the way they looked, recognized the day was 12. There were 12 hours in a day. So this is more likely about 4 a.m. that 4 p.m. that afternoon. Under the Roman law, they looked at time like us. You know, 24-hour period where midnight starts today. So there's some discussion about what this is, Jewish law, the Jewish clock they're using, or the Roman clock, but it really don't matter. They spent the day with Jesus. That's where I see it. And so everywhere else in the book of John where he referenced hours, he was speaking of the Jewish time. And so that's close enough for me. But the point of the matter is that Jesus gave them an invitation. And they took him upon his invitation, and they came to spend the day with him. Now here's the thing about us. We understand that Jesus gives us an invitation. And the only way we can understand the importance of the invitation of Jesus when he said, come unto me, all ye to what? Labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Every one of us who've been baptized for the remission of sin has answered the call. We have answered the call to come and spend time with Jesus. And I'm saying to you today, if you're here today and you're not a member of the Lord's church, you need to come to the invitation. You need to answer the invitation so you can spend the rest of your life with Jesus. Now, one of the two.
And one
which heard,
of the two which heard John speak.
One of the two following him was
Andrew, Simon Peter's brother.
So we got Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Andrew has come on the scene. And then the Bible said,
He first found his own brother Simon, and said
unto
him.
And now here's where my sermon title come from. He said he found his brother Simon. He went to his brother Simon.
And said unto him, We found the Messiah.
This is what he said. He said, we found the Messiah. They had learned from the testimony of John, and now more convinced than ever from the conversation with Jesus that this guy is the Messiah. He's the one we've been looking for. And he went to Simon, his brother, and he told him. Now, the word Messiah, it means, in Hebrew, as interpreted, it means the same as Christ or anointed. And so in Matthew 1:21, the book says they call him Jesus, which means Savior. Okay, so you got Messiah, which means Christ. Messiah, which means Christ, and that then they call him Jesus Christ, which is Savior. Jesus is the Savior. Christ is the anointed one or the Messiah. And so here we are. This name Jesus, being the Savior of the world, is also the anointed one or the one that will be called Christ. Amen. Y'all make sense? So here he is, the Christ, and he says to them, we found Messiah. So he go back to his family. He went to his brother first. Y'all see that? And he said, we found the Messiah. And what I'm saying to all of us, when we find the Messiah, when we find the Savior, all of us, the first people we should go to is to tell our family. Go home and tell your brothers, sisters, and husbands and wives and mamas and daddies, we found the Christ. When you find the Christ, you'll find the church of Christ. There's only one Christ and one church of Christ. When you find the truth, take it to your family. What he's saying. You gotta find the truth. And so John said, man, you know, I don't know why those of us in the church who believe in the Bible to be right, why wouldn't we tell our families? Why wouldn't we go tell our family? That's what he said. The first person he went to was his brother. He said, man, we found him. This is the guy we've been reading about in the Old Testament. That's what he said. This is the Messiah. This is the Christ. This is the Savior of the world. What an announcement that he had to take to his family. What an announcement. For the first time in their lives, they could go and tell their family, we found the one we've been reading about. His name is Jesus the Christ. Amen. Now, how many of y'all that went and told your families? Amen. How many of you members of the Lord's church that went and told your families about the truth? Now, here it is for my friends. Brothers and sisters, the truth is in this book. It's in here. This is not a myth. It's not fable. This is not a fairy tale. The truth is the saved are in the church of Christ. How sad it would be to know you know the truth and you didn't tell your mama, sisters, and brothers. How many of you in your heart of hearts can say that you've told your family? We found the Messiah. I know this. When I'm dead and gone, one thing my family will be able to say about me is I went and told my family. I take great pride in the fact that I went to my mom and dad and sisters and brothers and I told them. I found the Messiah. Amen. And when I told them I found the Messiah, I was telling them I found the Church of Christ. And my families are members of the Church of Christ. My children are members of the Church of Christ. And anyone who comes into our family, we will introduce them to the Messiah. And when we introduce them to the Messiah, we're introducing them to Christ, who is the head of the church. And when you introduce them to Christ or the Messiah, and you introduce them to him, you can't have his head and him as head without his church. And there are a lot of people who will never believe this, but it's okay that they don't believe it. It's not okay that we don't tell them. That's on them if they don't want to be in the church of Christ. But we must be able to say, and our consciences must be clear, that we can go to our friends, we can go to our neighbors, we can go to our loved ones, and we can say to them, we found the Messiah. That's all I'm saying. And in your heart of hearts, if you know you haven't told them, my question is why? And it couldn't be much of what the disciples had. There was a beliefs issue. You know, some people, even in the church, believe they're Christians in every church. But if they're a Christian in every church, it wasn't recorded in this book. And how can you say something that's not true? How can you verify that it's true? It's not in the book. Matter of fact, there are no other churches in the book to say anything. You couldn't even make that statement. Because there were no other churches. There were no other Christs. Someone say, Muhammad is our Christ. That's not in this book. Someone say, Buddha is our Christ. That's not in this book. He wasn't the chosen one. He wasn't Jesus. He wasn't the Savior. Muhammad is still dead. You got to ask yourself, what do I believe? You say, well, where did my belief come from? It comes from here. This is why we worship on the first day of the week. This is why we take collection on the first day of the week. This is why we commune on the first day of the week. Because that was the day that the Messiah got up from the grave. He got up with all power. He was the Messiah, the anointed one, the chosen one. And he got up with power, and he said, go in the world and preach the gospel. The first day of the week is the Sunday, and we know it's Sunday. That's the day of the resurrection. That's why Christians worship on Sunday. Yeah, we can get that part right from this book. Shouldn't we get the church right? Shouldn't we get communion every Sunday right, like they did? Shouldn't we be singing and praying like they did? That's what you learn in New Testament worship. In New Testament worship, pattern of worship, we sing. We have no instrumental music. We have no choirs because we follow the pattern of the disciples with Jesus. The way they worship, they sing, they pray. They took communion once every Sunday. And they took a lecture on the Sunday. And they preach from the Word of God. And that's what we do in the Church of the Christ. Wow, we found the Messiah. Amen. What's the message this morning? Have you been to Jesus? Have you answered the invitation? Have you found the Messiah in your life? Notice what happened. They brought him to Jesus.
And he brought him to Jesus.
Brings his brother to him. And when Jesus
beheld him, he said.
When Jesus seen him coming, talking about Simon, he says, "Thou art I know
Simon,
you.
The son of Jonah."
See, here's the thing about it. You may not know God, but God know you. He know right now some of you got some issues going on in your lives. Yeah. Some may be depressed. Some may be here because you are at the end of the road. You may be about to give up. You know your only hope is here. Some may be here because you got yourself in some trouble. You need God. You may have health issues. You may be going through marital struggles. You may have relationship issues. Amen. You may be going through some troubling stuff in your mind. You may be in your dark closet of things going on no one else can help you with. What I'm trying to say, when you're looking for the Messiah knows what you're going through. He know what you're dealing with. He know you need him. And when he see you coming, he know why you here. Now, every one of us are here for a reason. Amen. We're not here because we know we can save ourselves. We know we can't save ourselves. We know we can't deal with life without God. I do. Do you know that? Do you know you can't live with life without God and be successful? Anyone who tried to live life without the Messiah is living a life that's a vanity. Vanity, said the preacher. Meaningless. Life without God has no meaning. So he sees Simon. He says, "Simon, I know you." He know every hair on our head by number. I mean, how many of you got something going on in your life that you know the Lord know about? And you sit there now, you're thinking, man, what is this message all about? You know, this whole message may be the only one person in this room. Amen. Might be a Simon in here. And Jesus speaking to you through me. Say, "I know you. I know what you're going through. I know what you're dealing with. The invitation is yours, though. You can come and be with me, or you can stay in your condition." Some of your conditions are as members of the Lord's church, is that you left the Lord. You have not been faithful, and you know you're not. If you die tonight, you know you're not going to be saved because you haven't been communing. You're in sin. You haven't made confession. You haven't restored. You haven't asked God to forgive you. And you're here today with that dark cloud over your head. But you can leave today and say, "I found the Messiah." Find the Messiah just means you heard him. You heard the word. You believed it. You got to believe God can help you through your situation. You got to look for help. And he's standing with his arms open. "Come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." How many of you are tired? How many of you are weary? How many of you say, "I need some rest"? You need some rest? Are you looking for the Messiah? You got to be looking for the Messiah. They were looking for him. He said, "Peter," he said, "Simon,
thou art
you're
Simon,
the son of Jonah."
Son of
Tell him who he was, whose child he was.
"Thou shalt be called Cephas."
I'm going to call you Cephas, which is by interpretation
a stone.
Stone. Get Matthew 16:13. This is Simon, we know as Peter or Petros. And our stones, a pebble, come from a rock. It comes from a rock. When we see this rock, he calls him a stone. He gives him the name as Cephas. And in Matthew 16, 13, there was a day when he was coming through Caesarea Philippi. The Bible says what?
When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi,
yeah.
He asked his disciples, saying,
uh-huh.
Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?
Now, one of the disciples is there is Cephas. He said, who are they saying I am?
And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist.
Some say you who?
John the Baptist.
Some say you're John the Baptist.
Some
say
Elias.
You're Elias.
And others.
Others.
Jeremiah.
Jeremiah.
Or one of the prophets.
Or you, yes, one of the prophets. The
he
Bible
says
teaches
unto
what?
Them.
Uh-huh.
He says unto them, but
he
whom say ye that
no,
I am?
I'm not worried about what everybody else is saying. Well, Jesus, I want to know what you say about me. And then he says what?
And Simon Peter
Simon
answered.
Simon who?
And Simon Peter
here he
answered
is, Cephas.
And said.
Simon Peter, the son of Jonah. He said, the Simon Peter speaks
said
up.
Him,
when he said, what are you all saying? Simon would speak then. He says what?
Thou art the Christ.
We know who you are. Thou art the Christ,
the son of the living God.
Watch what he says now. Blessed.
And Jesus said unto
Jesus
him,
blessed
art
thou,
Simon
by
Jonah, for flesh and blood did
he
not
said,
reveal
He said, your daddy didn't tell you this. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but what?
But my Father which is in
God
heaven.
God the Father who's in heaven. Read on.
And I'm saying unto thee. That thou
that
art
you
Peter.
You are Peter.
And upon this rock.
That rock. There it is right there. You are a stone. Cephas. But upon the rock, which is the confession that he just made, that he said, you are the Son of God. He tells Peter, he said, upon that rock, upon that confession,
I will build
my church. I'm
going to build
my church. What he's saying, upon the confession that I am who you say I am, I'm going to build, notice, not a church, not some of the churches, but my church. Whose church is it?
Christ.
Who made the confession? Peter. What was the confession he made?
I believe
that Jesus Christ
is the Son of God.
What confession we must make before we can enter into the kingdom of the church is I believe that Jesus Christ. He's not asking you what everybody else believes. I don't care what everybody else believes, but I want to know, what do you believe? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the God. My question for all of us in here, have you made the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son? Because that's the rock. And that confession going to be made by mankind either before baptism, or they going to make it at judgment. Every knee will bow and every mouth will confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he told Peter, to thee I'm going to give the keys. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Because he made that confession, he gave him the key would be the gospel key. And he would be the first one to preach the gospel to the Jews and to the Gentiles. Let's go back to John, verse 43.
The day following Jesus would go forth into Galilee.
Now after that event with Peter, he would go into
Philip.
Galilee. Now notice what we find
Philip.
There. He finds Philip, and he's starting
and
to get
him.
All his disciples together. So we got Andrew, we got Peter, we got Philip coming on the scene, and he says,
follow me.
And he seen Philip. And he said, follow me. Now, we don't know what course Philip was on in his life before. And I don't know what course you're on in your life today. But at some point, before you die, my friend, you ought to decide to follow Jesus. That's the message this morning. We need to decide to follow Jesus. Now, Philip was up Bethsaida. The city of Andrew and Peter. So all of them coming from the same hometown. Now, Philip,
then
he go get someone else. He found Nathaniel and
said
to him, hey, Nathaniel, we found him.
Moses in the
one we can read about in the Old Testament. Moses talked about him.
Did right.
The prophets talked about him.
Jesus of Nazareth.
Isaiah, Jeremiah, all the prophets talked about this one that was coming. He said, did they write of Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, man, let me ask you a question. He said, can any good thing come from Nazareth? Nazareth. Now, Nathanael had an issue with Nazareth. I don't know what it was. It's not revealed. Exactly. But there was something about Nazareth that in Nathaniel's mind, I can't see how a Messiah can come out of Nazareth. A Nazarene. Philip had an issue believing a Savior like Jesus could come from Nazareth. And the problem was that he had a belief problem. And we're going to find today, even in today's world, the reason people are going to be lost is because they can't see how a Jesus, a Savior, could hang on a cross in Jerusalem. How can something that saved the world, a God, how could he look, hang a God on the cross and kill God and still be God and then let him get up out of the grave? God the Father had to get God up. These folk can't see it because faith don't come by seeing. That's the problem. And, you know, ain't no doubt in my mind, even in this audience, there are people who don't believe. So like Nathaniel, he didn't believe it. You know how many people don't believe? You know what the sad part for me, Tim, is? People in the Lord church who have not bought into the Bible being absolutely right. You here because we the closest thing you found to truth. You're not here because you believe it absolutely 100% of it. At some point, you got to decide, though. Is this a true story? Or is it just a bunch of lies? Were there ever a Jesus? Did he really die? Is there something to this thing about heaven? Is there really a heaven to win and a hell to miss? Or do we go on Sunday for a social appeal to people? A gathering, so we got friends and a social event to go to? Or do we come in here on Sunday morning because we believe God is God and we are worshiping him? Do we believe God is in the presence of this worship? Do we believe that we're actually in the presence of God in worship? You got to say, do I act like it? What am I doing when I'm in here? Is my mind on him? Am I singing to him? Do I worship him? Do I control my behavior in worship for him? Do I understand I'm in the presence of God? What is belief? Belief is believing in something we never seen. We walk by faith and not by sight. You got to think about your belief. What do you believe? Verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him.
And said unto him.
He started telling him about himself.
Behold, an Israelite. You're an Israelite. An Israelite indeed.
And you know, I know your heart. You don't have no crazy stuff going on in your mind. See, here's the thing about us. God knows, he looks at our mind. Verse 7:16. He looks at our mind, and it's not the heart right here. I grew up in a faith that said we got Jesus in our heart and we always hit on our chest. But he's talking about the mind, as a man thinking in his heart. But man, everybody in here, God knows every thought going through your mind right now. He knows what you're thinking. You say, well, I hear him. I can't believe that. I know you can't believe something. That's you. But don't you think God don't know you ain't believing? He ain't not going to change the word for you, my friend. Either you believe baptism for the remission of sin or you don't. But here's what he do know. He know what you do believe and he know what you don't believe. And here's what he said. You have no guile, no ill way of thinking in your mind. And he said, Nathanael said unto him, how you know
whence
me?
Whence knowest thou me?
Well, how you know me? Jesus answered, said
Jesus
to him,
answered and said
before,
him, before
that
Philip
called
you,
thee.
You
were under,
under the fig tree.
God is, and
I
so
saw
Jesus
thee.
Using divine, his divine power. He said, I can tell you, you was under a fig tree before Philip even called you. And here's the thing about it. And this man, how did he know I was under a fig tree? Now, we don't know what all that was going on under the fig tree. This is the only thing revealed in the scripture. So we can't say no more than Jesus knew something about him that got his attention, that he was under that fig tree. I don't know what he was doing under that fig tree. I don't know what he was thinking under that fig tree. I don't know what you were doing last night. I don't know what you were thinking last night, but I know who knows. That's my point. You understand this. None of us get away with anything. We don't even get away with a thought. You may be sitting here with some ill thoughts going, I done said one church, and you got all this thought going through your mind. You're going to get away with that thought. You can't get away with a thought. None of us can. We're naked before God, Hebrew writers say. We're naked. In other words, there's everything exposed. So this man's life was exposed to God. Jesus knew. He used his divine power to get his attention. And Nathan responds in verse 49. And Nathan answered, said unto him, Rabbi.
In other words,
he knew this had to be God talking to him. See, when God speaks to you, he ain't going to come to you at night and speak to you and say, hey, God is in the room. He's going to speak to us through this word. God, who has sundry time and diverse manner spake in time passed by the Father, but in these last days has spoken to us through his Son. And that's through the scripture. He was the word. And the way you're going to get information from God is to get it from the word of God. Now, did you come this morning to get information from the word of God? So some of you can be closer to God. You can be more like God. You can be more spiritual and less carnal if you want God. If you want God, you got to come to God. And to come to God, you got to believe he's God. And when you believe he's God, you know God know everything about you. And you need to know as much as you can about him, because God and you need to come together for the sake of your salvation. Amen. Amen. Notice that Nathan, he said, now, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God.
Thou art the King of Israel.
Why are you believing? Because you just told me about my life. And now notice this. So I've had people come to me and say, Brother Brooks, were you at my house last night? Or what is going on? Seemed like you were just talking Drake. I just left a meeting. Lady came and said, I just can't. I don't know. I got to get myself. It's almost like, she said, well, like God, it's like you just talk to me by myself. Now, that's the word of God. It's able to penetrate your life and come into your home and come into your life and come into your situation and identify you. It'll identify you this morning as a child of God or a child of the devil. It'll identify you. One of the two. It'll identify you. The word of God will identify you. If you're going to heaven, it'll identify if you're not going to heaven. It'll identify you if you're faithful. It'll identify if you're not faithful. It'll identify if you're a spiritual person or you're a corner-minded person. Corner-minded people are not people who believe that the Bible is right. Amen. Necessarily. They're living off of carnality, of thoughts of the world. Now notice at that close. Jesus answered and said unto him,
because I said unto thee.
Now, the only reason you believe, Nathan, you ain't pulled nothing on no wool on my eye. Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree. Believest thou? Is that why you believe? And then he says,
Thou shalt see greater things than thee.
Yeah, you're going to see some stuff. Is that just me saying that is the reason you believe? You're going to see some greater things. Notice what he says.
And he said, verily I say unto you, hereafter you shall see.
You're going to see the heavens open, the angels of God.
And the angels of God
ascending and descending upon
the Son of Man.
Jesus said to him, you ain't seen nothing yet. In other words, you ain't seen nothing yet. He go back to Genesis 28:12, where Jacob and was seeing the ladder going up and down, angels coming back and forth, bringing information down to him. Christ, now, in this scenario, Christ is the ladder to heaven. Information going to come from heaven because of him. Information going up because of him. And that's Jesus, what he's talking about. Christ is the ladder, the way from earth to glory. That's why he said in John 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father but by me. He's the ladder. He's the way. We're going to get information from God and down to us. And he's the mediator. He's the one sending information back. He's on the right hand of the Father. When I pray, Jesus intercedes. He's telling him, you're going to see some things that you ain't never seen before. The intercommunication between heaven and heaven and earth will be through Jesus Christ. So what have these men found? The Messiah. That's a clear message, isn't it? But my message is to appeal to the audience. And it may be just one or two people here. That you came today because you're looking for the Messiah. You're looking for the one who say, come and see. Come spend the day with me. You're looking for the one who knows your life. He knows your situation. He knows your trials. He knows trials are dark on every hand. He know we're going through tribulations. He know you're sick in your body. He know you got situations in your life, in your home, in your marriage, in your situation. God knows. And the appeal is to say to you all, have you found the Messiah yet? Did you come looking for the Messiah? Because if you did, the message is clear that God so loved you that he sent the Son. His only begotten Son who came from heaven's glory, lived among men, chose his disciples, lived on this earth about 33 years, but the Messiah had to die. He was the Lamb of God, and they took him and beat him and whipped him, and blood was shed. And they took him on the cross of Calvary, hung him on that hill, nails in his hand, nails in his feet, and the Messiah hung on the cross for 6 hours. Early Sunday morning after they buried him, Messiah got up with power. He said, go in the world, preach the gospel, tell them about the Messiah. Tell them that he died for his sins according to the scripture. Tell them that he was buried and rose again. If he believe it, if she believe it, baptize him. Why baptize the Messiah? Because baptism is for the remission of sin. It's the blood that came from his side. That same blood purchased the church. That same blood washed your sins away this morning. Revelation 1:5. I want to know who in the audience. Amen. They want to come and spend your time with Jesus. Amen. He said, I stand at your door now. If you're open, I'll come in. How many of y'all need Jesus in your life? Say amen if you do. Maybe there's somebody this morning, you're a member of the Lord's church, and you haven't had the courage to come down and say, you know what, Brother Brooks, I found the Messiah, but I left him. And he's still there standing calling you home. Come back, come back. Come back to me. You've been gone too long. Come back. Ask the church to pray for you. Ask us to pray with you. We don't care what you've done. Sin is sin. You can come back, down on your bended knee, begging God to save this soul of mine. Please forgive me, Jesus. Try me again. Sisters and brothers that are, maybe you've left the Lord. Come home. You found the Messiah. You don't have to stay out there. Any of those who are not members of the Church of Christ, you heard me preaching all morning about the Church of Christ. The way you become a member of the Church of Christ, by hearing that gospel story, by believing it with all of your heart, repent right where you are. Say, I'm not leaving without the Messiah in my life. And to leave without the Messiah is to leave outside of the Church of Christ. So you say, you make your mind up, I'm not going to do it today. I'm not going to do it. I've done it enough. So I'm appealing to those who are not members of the Church of Christ. You come, we're going to ask you, do you believe Jesus Christ, Son of God? And we're going to baptize you right now this morning. Everything you ever done will be washed away, Acts 2:38. God, with your sins, we here remember no more. You come up a new creature, born again and regenerated, an heir of God, and a joint heir of Jesus Christ. And then I'm appealing to those who are members of the Lord's Church that have left the Messiah. Won't you come home today? Come back to the Messiah and mark this day as your day that you came home. Come home repenting. Come home confessing. And then those who just going through trials. You say, Brother Brooks, I ain't never left the Messiah. I ain't planning on leading the Messiah. But my trials are heavy. My heart is heavy. And Jesus know what you're going. He's just waiting on you to come. He said, I stand at your door now. I come in and sup with you. I know you're going through some things. But when you open the door, I come in and sup with you. And today you can let him in by opening the door of your heart and saying, Lord, I need your help. And when you're asking for help, we're going to pray with you. Because the Bible says that prayers avail much. The prayers of a righteous man avail much. Now, if you're a member of the Lord's church and you believe in prayer, and you got things going on in your life, don't be ashamed. Don't let the devil stop you from asking us to pray with you and pray for you, because God said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth. God said, I'll respond to the right. The eyes of the Lord over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. Don't miss this opportunity, because this might be your last day to be baptized. It might be the last time God going to give you to come back home and restore and become come out of the prodigal state. It may be the last time you can ask for prayer for your situation, because God gave you time and he gave you a chance. Won't you take it? As together we stand and sing the song of encouragement. Won't you?